that was terrible. It's good to be together. Yes? Today is an exciting day. New Life Worship, we released a record that went live today. And we have some extra friends with us on the team who you all know. Well, my best friend, Gonzi. Friends have joined us. This is basically the most of New Life Worship with us tonight, which is so fun. So we get to come together to sing, to worship, to lift high the name of Jesus, our God who is faithful, our God who is good, our God who is for us. Amen? Let's go.
We have this confidence in Jesus. His blood has brought us into freedom. There is no other that can save us. Cause we know, yes we know, it's Jesus.
His arms with us, faithful and true.
So much in store. in your presence. It's in your presence, Lord. Lift your heads, all you gates, you everlasting doors. In the presence of the Lord. Yeah, the presence of the Lord.
Here's your mom right here, Friday. Let's go.
There's joy in the room, cause you're in the room.
Oceans roar to shine. singing, holy is the Lord our God. Holy is the Lord our God. And at the cross, darkness thought it won its victory. At dawn, the hand of God, it broke the Savior free.
Are crying, holy, 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 in a very real way, in a real, very real sense. When we worship like this, we're there, we're with them, we're entering the throne room of God to say, holy is the Lord. It goes beyond an album, goes beyond a project, it goes beyond a place. We're joining with the multitude. So can we just Say it, whisper it, holy. Completely other, completely different. The one who transcends above it all, God. I'm gonna have the band just kind of play over us. It's our feeble attempt at just joining in with the chorus of heaven. It's our human effort to kind of play the sounds of the throne room over all of us. But if we could just even maybe put our hands out like this, it's just, we say, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. It's all for you, Jesus, is why we are here. Holy, 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 holy. We join with the cherubim and the seraphim. Lord God Almighty, Lord God Almighty, Lord God Almighty. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Even now, there's things that are breaking out in the room, and our hearts are coming alive in Jesus. Maybe some of us for the first time. Just let the Lord work on you. Maybe there's tears coming to your eyes. Just let the Lord work on you. God is in this place. Stay on your knees. If you're standing, let's just wait 1 second, Kyle. Kyle's eager, and I love that. Let's get back to the spot here. I just wanted to give a minute. I didn't tell the guys I wanted to do this. I just wanted to give a minute to explain a bit of what was happening here. You know, Psalm 96, it's to sing a new song to the Lord, all the earth. And when the psalmist says sing a new song, that means a new song. It's translated to new song. And that's new songs that we're singing tonight and that we're releasing tonight. And it's also old songs sung a new way. You know, Psalm 40, when he sets our feet on a rock and he lifts us out of the pit, he puts a new song in our mouths. A new song, a hymn of praise. Many, and because of that song, many will see and fear and trust in God. So we're just trying to do our part to write new songs and declare new songs. And then verse 2 of Psalm 96 talks about declaring, proclaiming his salvation day after day after day. And we stand on ground here at New Life that we'll never get over our salvation. We've been through a lot as a church. We have a story as a church, don't we, of the Lord completely rescuing us time and time again. So we want to declare his salvation day after day. That's why we're doing another project. And then verse 3, while we're making a big deal about a new project and while we're not going to be ashamed and bashful and shrink back about talking about it, because verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations, right? To all the people. And you can't do that bashfully. You know, so there's this funny thing with the worship industry. It's like, well, it's about God. It's not about us. And there's a dance, and it's true. It's not about us. It's about God. But how do I declare his glory among the nations without saying something? I must say something. And we must say something. And deep in the soil of New Life Church is this writing songs and declaring songs. We did some of the math, and this album is the 30th album to release out of New Life in 30 years. And It's glory to God about that, but it shows us that one of the things that has helped our church just go is that we have sung our way through. we've praised God through, we've worshiped through, sometimes through madness, sometimes through fear, and then sometimes through the glorious victory on the highest mountain. We just keep singing. So we're just here to do our part and to declare Jesus and to sing loudly the glory of God to the nation. So that's what we're doing here. Does it sell? I don't know if it'll sell. We've decided not to like tour with our lives. We like to be here at church with you. And I like my wife. So I don't know, you know, I don't know. I know that I was thinking about tonight, we're going to do something like this Sunday morning. I was thinking, we're not here to recruit your help to get the songs out there. If you are compelled to share, if you're listening and you want to share it with people, please share it with people. But like, what makes us meaningful is this, is us. It's our people. It's church. It's our community. It's the people, like Daniel and I agree, we're kind of old school, and we still call this the church family. Yeah, and that word family is under such attack in the world, but we still call it a church family. We are brothers and sisters, and we don't draw tribal lines here. We are one, and we are here tonight to celebrate what God has done in the church family, that he is helping us go. And one of the ways he's doing this is through the songs that we are singing. We believe these things and we want to sing about it. And if God wants to use it outside these doors, that's up to him. And he's done it before. And we love when he does it and he could do it again. And we have to do our ego fights all the time. It's like, Lord, are you going to use this? Is this going to fly up the charts, up and to the right? It's the only thing we understand as Americans. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that right here in this moment, nothing is better. Yeah. Amen. So here we are in the Holy of Holies, the presence of the Lord. We're just going to sing one more song. So let's just stay in that. Join the multitudes, the people around the throne, singing holy, singing hallelujah, singing amen. Go for it, Kyle.
Church, you see. Hallelujah.
ever mark of his reward. And written on his thigh and written on his robe are the words you sing.
The King of Kings.
And the words, Lord of Lords.
Give me 3 more minutes here. I want us to sing the Bridge of Overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We've been singing this song that John wrote for 17 years around this church, and we've been singing it through the lowest valleys, and we've been singing it as we've climbed up to the highest mountains. And so I sense tonight in the room, some of you need to get these words in your spirit. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. So some of you, you're singing this in joy. Great. Congratulations. Some of you are singing this by faith, and I want there to be an eruption, a roar of worship. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's sing it.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Everyone overcome. We will, we will.
You and me,
overcome.
We will, and we will, and we will.
to sing that name. The greatest name.
Can you put the QR code up? John is not gonna, sorry, different one. The album QR code, my bad. Do we have that? The Von Trapp family singers. The family Von Trapp. Okay, I guess we don't have it. Never mind, that was anticlimactic. Forgive me. That one's on me. There's this thing called Spotify, YouTube. Go get this album. It's on all the platforms. We also have it back there at the table. We have compact discs. I don't know if you've ever seen those. Like your car eats something and then sound comes out. So if you want to buy a CD, they're back there at the table. But let's cheer these folks on. Give it up for New Life Worship. God is. Well done. Well done. If you're new, we would love to see you in the back at Guest Central after the service. So if that's you, swing by, we'll give you a gift, get to know you a little bit. Take 2 minutes, cross the aisle, hug a neck, shake a hand, be kind, and then I'll come open the Bible. 1, 2, 3, be nice. Well, good evening. Thank you. Very good. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Anyone here last week for the baptism service? Anyone? Yes? Listen, there's a lot of things we are not good at. Baptism services are not one of those things. We can do, I mean, 60, okay, it ended up being 62 people that got baptized last week right here. Stellar night. I saw a bunch of you come in tonight, and I just see the joy on your face. One of our dear friends, Peach, she said she got baptized last week, and she was going to bed at night, and she was talking to her mom. She goes, I don't ever want it to end. And I saw her the next day, and I said, Peach, I don't know how to explain this except by the Holy Spirit. Somehow it doesn't. It doesn't end. Like, when you've been washed in the waters of baptism, when you've gone under with Jesus and come up to resurrection life, there's something beautiful that we carry forever. And so we celebrate with you. Easter before that, we had, here's actually the number we had. Now, it's give or take 50, I'm sure, but 22,222 people Easter weekend. It was wild at our 8 congregations. So people are coming. We're seeing people get saved. People get caught up, like John said, into the family of God here. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. So praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. For those of you who are double dippers, I'll be preaching this on Sunday. And so fair warning, we'll see you again on Sunday, a better version probably. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the first 5 verses of John 13. And then we'll pray and we'll jump in. This is our 11th week in the Gospel of John, and we're going to just keep trucking into the beginning part of June to finish out the Gospel of John. So hear the word of the Lord. John 13, verse 1, it says, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. One translation says he loved them to the full. That evening, the meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Would you begin to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now? Just saying, come, Holy Spirit. Would you invite the Lord to challenge you tonight? Would you invite the Lord to comfort you tonight? Would you invite the Lord to encourage you tonight? One great theologian said that a good sermon comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. And so, Lord, we give you permission to do all of that tonight. We want your word to live and move and have its being among us tonight. Lord, we want you to make us your people. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, speak. I pray every distraction be silenced in the name of Jesus. I pray every attempt of the devil to intercept the word would be rebuked in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that your word would run swiftly in this place. Lord, have your way tonight, we pray, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. We read this story here tonight, and we see that the devil is working here at this meal. The devil is working here at this meal. Anyone with the little kids knows that the devil works at meals, right? Right? I mean, come on, let's just be honest. Car rides to church and the dinner table, the devil is just peak form, you know? And but in all seriousness, the devil is there, this meal here in John 13, it's not the Last Supper. It's the sort of last before the Last Supper. It's like 5 days before Jesus is crucified. He's about to head toward Jerusalem. So it's the hour is here. The clock is ticking. The darkness is descending. The low hum of the enemy's work is in the background. And the devil is working at this meal, and he's deceived Judas into selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And the devil is working to see that Jesus, the Son of God, dies. The devil wants Jesus dead. And this meal is where the activity really ratchets up. This is where the conflict comes into full force. This is where the moment is crescendoing to full effect. He's working to see that the Son of God dies. The devil, though, is also working to break this group apart. Of course, he wants Jesus dead. Jesus is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Jesus is the one who was and is to come. Jesus is the one who is holding all authority, and so the enemy wants Jesus dead. But the enemy also wants the group. He wants the family broken. He wants the disciples scattered. He wants there to be dissension in the ranks. The devil wants to break the group apart. He knows that Judas is in the room, and Jesus knows this, and Jesus knows that Judas has got 30 pieces of silver kind of clanking in his money bag, and Jesus now has a choice. At this meal where the devil is working, Jesus has a choice. Will he be exclusive with who he gives his love to? Will he leave Judas out? Judas is at the dinner. Is it 13 of them, I think, maybe? Maybe there's a couple other hangers-on. There's people kind of poking their head in. There's people, the door's revolving. But this is Jesus with his disciples. And will Jesus wash the feet of the 11 but leave Judas out? Jesus has decisions to make. Will Jesus make Judas pay? Will Jesus give Judas the cold shoulder? Will he give him the side eye? Will he punk him? Will he work him over? Will he sit with his back? What's Jesus going to do with Judas at this meal? Jesus has decisions to make. Will Jesus wash the 11 sets of feet but leave Judas unclean? Will Jesus, because Judas is in the room, choose not to wash anybody's feet? Will Jesus just shut the whole thing down? I think I might have. Right? Oh, you're going to pump? Okay. Oh, it's going to be like that? Okay, fine. And so Jesus starts sulking. Will he sulk? Will he punk Judas? Will he leave everybody out because something is against him? What's Jesus going to do? I just want you to see sort of the emotional texture of this room on this night. Will Jesus make everybody pay for the worst one in the bunch? Jesus could have chosen to shut it down entirely, or he could have chosen to limit his love and leave Judas out. But what does Jesus do? He washes all of their feet. Jesus washes all of their feet. Now, for us, we go, oh, isn't that nice of him to include Judas? But we don't actually think through the context. So I want to drill a layer deeper into an Eastern society. I want you to, if any of you came from an Eastern society or you've traveled the world and you know the difference between a Western society and an Eastern society is an honor-shame culture. It's a culture that the worst thing you could do is take the family name and run it through the mud. That's shameful. That's embarrassing. Don't you dare mess our name up like that. There's an honor shame thing happening here. And the context of Jesus washing their feet, in this society 2,000 years ago, there were slaves and there were masters. There were people who owned other human beings. Now, this is something that's happened in every society on planet Earth, and sadly, there's still upwards of 27 to 28 million slaves on the planet today that we know of. God have mercy on us. But in this Eastern society where there were slaves and masters, the masters who owned the slaves, they would have the slaves do all of the grunt work. They would have them go out and work the fields. They would have them clean up the house. They would have them do the laundry. They would have them work the crops and the herds. They were doing it all. If you were wealthy, you had a nice cush life while your slaves did your work for you. But in an Eastern honor-shame culture, you know the one thing they would not have a slave do? Wash their feet. A master would not require a slave. That's gross. That's below. No one can wash someone else's feet. This is nasty. We won't even make our slaves do this. And yet the Son of the living God, who left the palaces of heaven, comes down to earth, and in this moment he washes their filthy feet. Like we get pedicures and people get cleaned. I don't, but I know some people who do. right? We wear nice shoes, closed-toed shoes. These people are all wearing sandals. Their feet are nasty. Their skin is cracked. It's gross, right? Like, it'd be one thing even today for someone to wash your feet. You'd kind of be a little bit embarrassed, but maybe you would let them if you loved them and you knew they loved you. But, like, think back 2,000 years ago, walking the dusty roads of Palestine in the Middle Eastern hot desert. It's nasty. And the Son of the Living God washes their feet. It's staggering. The Eastern culture, throwing a sandal at somebody is a way of saying, I disrespect you to the uttermost. You couldn't be more appalling to me. Do you remember when President George W. Bush was in Afghanistan after the war, during the war, and one of the reporters threw a sandal at him and he ducked? That was the highest form of disrespect. Like, you're shameful to us, Bush, is what that guy was saying. And so Jesus, in an Eastern culture, gets down and washes their feet. I don't know if we understand how big of a deal this is. Peter himself, as Jesus is washing the feet, Peter, what does he say? He says, never, Lord. You're going to wash my feet? The heck you're going to wash my feet. You see this? You see the extreme lengths to which Jesus goes to love them. Do you see the humility of God? Now, the question I want to ask is, do you know how hard it is to keep a group of people together? So, of course, the devil wants Jesus dead, but like I told you, the devil also wants to break the group apart. He wants to scatter the kingdom. He wants to break the little fledgling embryonic church that's about to be born by the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil wants to crush that. The devil wants to abort that work before the new birth breaks out in the earth. Do you know how hard it is to keep a group of people together? And Jesus, in John 13, verse 20, Jesus says, amen, amen, verily, verily, truly I say to you, the person who receives whomever I send receives me. Jesus says, whoever receives whomever I send receives me, and the person who receives me receives the one who sent me. The question we have to answer is, will we receive whomever Jesus sends our way? Some of you have these children that you've loved and you've laid your life down for, and those children have grown up, and at year 20, they walked away. Year 25, and you trained them up. You did the Proverbs 22:6, raise them up in the way of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You did everything you knew to do, and you did your part, and yet still they've walked away. Will we receive everyone to whom Jesus sends us? Will we take the people in? Will we love the ones? How about the neighbor that's difficult? You know, they got the extra car up on cinder blocks in the front yard, you know? You're like, God bless them in Jesus' name. Are we going to do that? Are we really going to? You know, the fence falls down in the windstorm and it falls down into your yard and it's theirs and they just leave it there and their trash is coming in, their dog's coming in and relieving itself on your yard. And like, will you love the people that Jesus sends to you? It's fun to talk about just philosophically, and then life happens and people happen. Will you receive the one that Jesus sends your way? The coworkers, the families on your kid's soccer team or baseball team or basketball team. Lisa and I, just through the years, I see Coach Tony over here who was top shelf coach that coached Wakely, and we had lunch this week. Tony, I love you, man. We've been in competitive sports all these years, and our kids, Lisa and I have just said through the years, whatever team the Lord puts our kid on, that's our mission field. And some of them have been difficult. We've ushered people to their cars who were drunk on a Saturday morning at 9 a.m., yelling at a 12-year-old ref making $10 an hour. You know, you ever seen that parent? You know, there's a little ref out there, you know, going through puberty and is, you know, the yellow card and what, like, just be nice. And there's parents who are 40 years old about to pop a blood vessel. Yeah, that 12-year-old's your problem, bro. If we could just get the 12-year-old referees right, I would have a good life. Cursing people out on the sidelines. And Lisa and I, there have been plenty of people that have, all of us know what a difficult person is like. Will you receive whomever Jesus sends to you? will you wash their feet? Or will you just wash the feet of the people in the room that are easy for you to connect with and turn your back on the Judases? Turn your back on the Peters who deny Jesus, and turn your back on the Thomases who are doubters, and they're difficult. We all know that there's difficult people in every room, and oh, by the way, sometimes I am him. And so are you. Will we wash the feet of the people that Jesus sends our way? I'll just say it this way. If Jesus can wash the feet of Peter, who would deny him, can't we wash the feet of the people around us? If Jesus can wash the feet of Thomas, who would be slow to believe, can't we wash the feet of the people around us? If Jesus can wash the feet of Judas, who would betray him, can't we wash the feet of the people around us? Jesus gets up from the table and he takes off his robe, which signifies royalty. It signifies dignity. He's at the head of the table. He's the most important person in every room, or so it would seem, but he doesn't seem to know that. In every room, Jesus is the one lifting up the needy and strengthening the feeble and feeding the hungry and healing the sick and kissing the leper and restoring widows and women who are marginalized in that society. Jesus, the most important person in every room, is the one who's washing the feet in every room. If Jesus can do that, then so can we. Can I teach you just a little bit of how the Gospel of John is structured? I think it's really important because this moment, John chapter 13, is a critical sort of literary pivot in the Gospel of John. There's two sections of the Gospel of John. Section number one is the book of signs. Chapters 1 through 12, the book of signs. Jesus launches on the scene, the ministry breaks out, and everywhere he goes, good stuff is happening. He's simply spectacular. He turns the water into wine in chapter 2, and he heals the official's ailing son, and he prophesies to the woman at the well in John 4, and he heals the lame man of 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, and he feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he walks on water, and he heals the blind man. And then he finally says in chapter 11, Lazarus, come forth. And he restores Mary and Martha to their brother and the brother to Mary and Martha. Jesus is spectacular. And we Westerners, we love power, right? Oh, we love the book of signs. Go for it, Jesus. Get them, God. Yeah, isn't that cool? Jesus is doing stuff. He's doing cool things. He's water into wine. Yeah, bro. Woo, woo, Jesus, right? We love Jesus in the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. Why? Because we are drunk on power. We love adrenaline. We love a good scene. We love to be entertained. Give it to us, God. That's why we had American Gladiators growing up. Anyone else remember American Gladiators? Especially shooting the tennis balls at it. You know, and there's these people, you know, like tax accountants running across, and then, you know, some big old boy, 250, run them over, and it breaks their back, and wow, American Gladiator. We love the book of signs. We love UFC, right? Saturday night's late. People are always inviting me to UFC fights. I'm like, bro, I got church in the morning. They don't ever start those till midnight, you know? People peacocking in and bathrobes and, you know, just it's fun, right? The adrenaline and cool stuff. WrestleMania. Why is The Rock a billionaire? I think that's like a verdict on the American story. The Rock is a billionaire. Tell me we don't love the book of signs. I mean, what can this guy do besides lift weights and like look crazy all the time? Anyway, I love you, Dwayne. Hey, did anyone tell me? I need to take a little poll. Anyone see the power team growing up? Anyone power? Come on, right there. Come on. Let's go. John Jacobs. Right in the middle, John Jacobs. Look at this guy. Whoo. Does anyone know? Let me ask this. Does anyone not know what the power team is? I pray for people like you, okay? Right? They would come to my church. Tara has no idea. It's okay. I'll show you videos. They would come to my church every year and they would break bricks, you know, just, they would get ready. And then at the end, they would just do all these things, blow up hot air balloons and burst them and tear phone books. And it was just, it was insane. I look back and go, what were we doing? And then at the end, they would give an altar call. If you were to die tonight, you get down here. Wah! And most of, half the people came because they were scared. They scared them right out of hell, scared the hell out of them, and right into heaven. It was unbelievable. The book of signs. Whoa. Jesus. That's basically like they were really excited about Jesus in the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. But Jesus shows us that there's no power like the power of sacrifice. Because you turn from chapter 12, where all of this buzz and all of this adrenaline and the crowds, oh my gosh, and he's feeding people for free. This is like awesome. And then you turn to John chapter 13, and Jesus is with a small group of people at the table, and he gets up from the table and he takes off his robe of power. And he gets down and he puts a towel around his waist. In a society that already is starting to blush. What are you doing? Get up off of the ground. Don't touch my feet. And Jesus comes through the room and washes all 12 of their feet. And can you imagine the eye contact with Judas? Like, I need you to see that tonight. Hey, Judas, do you know how much having loved them, he loved them to the end. He loved them the full cost. He gave everything. He made that eye contact that night. I love you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Jesus begins to show us what glory looks like. The second section of the book, when you turn to John chapter 13, is the book of glory. The book of signs, the book of signs, the book of signs. Lazarus, come forth. Big address. Then you turn to this, and now we're starting to point ourselves toward Jerusalem. We're starting to point ourselves toward the cross. Jesus says, yes, I can do, there's nothing that's too difficult for me. Yes, I am the one who was and is to come. Yes, I spoke a word and said, let there be, and there was. But you like signs, but let me show you what glory looks like. Sacrifice. Pouring out myself, brokenness, and giving myself away, washing the feet of the world. Jesus has come to show us what glory looks like. The greatest miracle is not to be found in Jesus' power. The greatest miracle is Jesus' humility. God is humble? Are you serious? Who are we working with here? Name any regime of the past and tell me if that king ended his story or that queen ended her story in deep humility. Jesus seems to be exceptional here. His humility is standout. Washing the disciples' feet, he says essentially to them, you've seen plenty of strength, but this is what glory looks like. Caesar Augustus was the ruler when Jesus was born. And Caesar Augustus, he crushed the enemy, he dominated, he occupied, he enslaved, he crucified. It was shock and awe, it was fear-mongering, it was terror at every side. And he destroyed the Roman Empire and he drove the people away. The greatest empire on the planet at the time disintegrated within about 100 years. Why? Because power cannot ultimately keep people together. Self-sacrifice and serving and loving them till the end and laying down your life and using your strength not as a way of gaining status but as a way of showing what it's like to serve. That is what will keep a group of people together. Think about all the great powerful leaders of the past. Lenin couldn't keep people together, and Stalin couldn't keep people together, and Hitler couldn't keep people together, and Jim Jones down in Guyana couldn't keep people together, and David Koresh, he couldn't keep people together. Jesus is the one who knows how to keep people together, and it starts with washing the feet of the world. Love is what keeps people together. Martin Luther King Jr. when he came on the scene. In the moment of the American South, he was insistent on nonviolent resistance. And he said to the people that with our nonviolent resistance, we will overcome them with their physical force with soul force. We will overcome their physical force with soul force. You can send your dogs at us. We will stand there and we will look you in the eye with dignity and we will resist you in the name of Jesus. You may have physical force, but we have soul force. And that spirit broke the back of racism. And it's still dying. But there was a moment in American history that said, we will no longer fight fire with fire. We will no longer fight you with the weapons of this world. We will fight you with our soul force. And something happened in America in that moment. You don't crush the devil with the weapons of this world. You crush the devil with the power of inexhaustible love. And this is what Jesus did that night when he got up from the table and he laid his power down and he washed their feet. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not physical, they're not earthly, but our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus changes the world with a bowl of water. We got Putin trying to take over the world with tanks. It doesn't work. Jesus takes out a bowl of water and some towels and he begins to show what glory looks like. And friends, I just want to ask you tonight, will you wash the feet of the people that God sends your way? Will you serve? Will you bless? Will you turn the other cheek? Will you go the extra mile? Will you do everything in your power to keep your dignity? Will you do everything in your power to bless people who curse you? I'm telling you, that will be the thing that ultimately changes the world. What you're doing is you're partnering with the Son of God who gets down from the table and instead of fighting back and going against Judas and matching Judas's physical force with physical force, he matches Judas's physical force with soul force, with love. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said, if God didn't love his enemies, he would have no friends. If God didn't love his enemies, he would have no friends. Friends, if you're here tonight, if your life has been washed in the life of Jesus, if you've been strengthened by Jesus, if you've been forgiven, if you've been set free, if you've been redeemed, if you can sing with the worship team tonight and lift your hands and say, I don't know how I'm still here, but somehow, some way, God got me through. It's because God treated one of his enemies as his friend. It's because Jesus got up from the table and he came to your dirty feet and to my dirty feet. And we kind of tried to resist him and fight him off and never, Lord. But Jesus says, let me make you clean. Let me make you strong. Let me wash you. If God didn't love his enemies, he would have no friends. So the question I want us to ask that we have to answer tonight is, will we receive and love whomever Jesus sends our way? John chapter 13 is a paradigm for us, for our lives. This is how we're supposed to live. There will be 1,000 moments where you could sit at the table and let everyone serve you. There will be 1,000 moments where you will be in a room where there's difficult relational dynamics and you could kind of shade someone, you could turn away, you could ignore them, you could give your love to a portion of the room, or you could just shut the whole thing down because you're frustrated at that one person. But why don't we become like Jesus? Why don't we spend our lives getting up from the table and taking off our power and getting down low and bringing over the bowl of water and washing the feet of the people that Jesus sends our way? Friends, if we will live this way, the world will change. In this political season, instead of throwing stones, why don't we bring a bowl of water? It's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. Some of you are getting mad at me right now. Oh, shut up, brother. Don't say that. You can be mad for the next 9-10 months and be miserable and make all of us miserable. Or you can be filled with the Spirit of Jesus and just serve whoever he sends your way. Love whoever he sends your way. Vote your conscience. Do your work. Go for it. Caucus. Do the thing. Do the thing. But don't let evil get inside of you. Let the Spirit of Jesus get inside of you. Friends, tonight, if we will live a John 13 life and bring around our bowl of water and a towel and walk into every room to look for whomever Jesus sends our way, I promise you the kingdom of God will come and the will of God will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Church, let's be a John 13 people. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me tonight? I want you to close your eyes for just a minute and begin to think about the people that are difficult for you. I'm being totally sincere. We've all got them. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to fake it. We don't need to act like we've got it locked in. There are people that will come to mind. Can you begin to think what Jesus would do with them? How would Jesus treat them? And then will you begin to ask Jesus to give you his heart? Would you ask Jesus to take the anger and the bitterness and the hatred? Can you begin to relinquish that? Can you give it over? Here's a thought that's just coming to me. Some of you have some Judases in your life. And you're not so much mad as you are scared. You're scared. That's normal. That's human. No shame. But I think if you trust Jesus tonight, he'll take the fear away from you. So can you ask Jesus to take the fear away from you tonight? Can you ask him to remove the terror out of your spirit tonight? Can you ask him to heal the heartbreak tonight? Can you ask him to disciple you in washing the feet of the people around you? Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. If we don't get your spirit in us, the world is going to burn. But if the church can be the church, if the church can be like Jesus, if the church can follow the master in service, I think salvation's gonna break out in unbelievable ways. So Jesus, we ask you, make us like you. Can you just begin to pray that? Jesus, make me like you. Teach me how to love the way that you love. Teach me how to forgive the way that you forgive. Teach me how to stretch out my arms for the people around me like you stretched out your arms for us. If God didn't love his enemies, he would have no friends. God, make us like Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would send us into situations where there's just exhaustion, where there's brokenness, and send us in with water, Lord. Send us in with healing power. Send us in with kindness. Send us in with compassion. Help us to be a blessing in every room we walk into, Lord. So we say, fill us tonight with your Holy Spirit. Fill us tonight with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us tonight with the Spirit. I pray that when the next opportunity arises for us to shade someone or turn the back or to walk away, I pray that we would find ourselves just getting up from the table to go make it right. Jesus, fill us with your Spirit. I want to invite our communion servers to come down because I can hardly think of a better way to get his Spirit in us than sit at the table with him. To let him feed us, to let him look us in the eyes. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna worship the Lord. Come through the room if you're able, grab one of the communion elements, carry it back to your seat, hold it there as we worship and we'll receive together. If you can't come through, just tap your neighbor, they'll get one for you. But let's worship Jesus as we come to receive communion.
Jesus, my
Before we receive communion, Pastor Alex had a word from the Lord that he wanted to share with the congregation. Alex?
Church, as we were singing in our first worship songs, I felt so heavily from the Lord, just this concept from the prophet Joel, where the prophet Joel says, "Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is compassionate."
Yes.
And as we're singing these songs, and as Pastor Daniel delivers a sermon about Jesus cleansing our feet, a reminder to myself that I felt, and something I want to share with you, is that yes, we need Jesus to clean our feet. We need to welcome him. We need to allow him. And also, we must take a look inside and allow the Spirit of God inside.
Yes.
This idea of taking what's inside and removing it and replacing it with something that's firm and strong has been so pertinent in my life this week. My mom got partial knee replacement surgery, and so what they do is they cut the knee down the middle and they take out old cartilage that isn't usable anymore, and they replace it with a plate of metal that is firm, is strong. It's not going to bend. It's not going to falter. But something that takes time is the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And looking down at a scar that wasn't once there, but there is something there now that is firm that will not pass away. Any surgery, any operation leaves a scar, and for you and I, we must rend our hearts and look down and not see a scar of, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I used to be, but look down and say, look what God has done.
Amen.
So friends, would we as a people rend our hearts, not our garments, and take what was old and unusable and not of God and welcome God into our lives and say, this is what God has done in my life. He has washed my feet. He has given me new clothes. He has given me a new name. And he has also given me a new heart, a new soul, compassion for people. Friends, would we be a compassionate people and allow the Spirit of God to fall fresh on us, to replace what was old and give us what is new and what is firm and what is faithful? Because our God, when we return to him, he is compassionate and he is kind. I pray that over us tonight, church. Let's take communion together.
Before we receive, let's go back into singing this again. And I want us just to take a time to repent here. Rend your hearts. Rend your hearts. Give it over to the Lord. Repent. Bring before him what you need him to heal you of. Let's sing. you open your communion elements and be ready to receive. Yeah, the devil's working at the dinner, but Jesus is working. He's going to be just fine. He's going to win. He's stronger. Love is stronger than death, and his purity is greater than the depravity of the devil. Jesus is stronger. And so on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he looked his people in the eyes, and he looks you and me in the eyes tonight, and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. And as often as you do this for the remembrance of me." You're taking my spirit into you. You're getting my life into you. You're taking on the way of Jesus. And so tonight, friends, having renounced the devil, having renounced the ways of darkness, what we're saying is, Jesus, we need you. So receive the bread tonight from Jesus. The same night he took the cup of wine. He said, "This cup is the new covenant given in my blood, and it's given for the remission of all of your sins." And either that's true or it's not. Either Jesus is for us or he's not. Either he buries our sins in the sea of forgetfulness or he doesn't. And so tonight by faith, we believe that Jesus was not lying to us. He says, "You're clean, you're forgiven, you're washed." Drink up tonight to your forgiveness.
He's lifted up forever.
He is what? He is risen. That changes everything.
He is alive.
He's alive, church.
He is alive.
Forever. Oh, forever.
Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. I'm exalted. Forever he is risen. He is alive.
All right.
going to do something cool here. I think there's going to be a QR code. Boom. Yes! Apparently 17 people got fired during that sermon. I'm just totally joking. Just totally joking. My key doesn't work anymore. Very good. So please get out your phones. If you're 80, just put your phone, point it at that, and boom. Camera at the thing. It'll pop up and do the voodoo, and you'll have the album that you can buy, okay? So anyway, can we say thank you to New Life Worship tonight for leading us? God is. Thank you for coming. Can you open your hands to receive the blessing of God tonight? I just realized I didn't invite you to give in the offering. There you go. You can give in the offering whenever you want. Awesome. Cool. Would you open your hands to receive the blessing of God tonight as you go? I pray. May the Lord our God bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift his bright, smiling countenance upon you and all of your people. And may he grant you his shalom tonight, his peace, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said. Can we give God thanks for what he's done here tonight? Two things. Prayer team is coming down. If you have any prayer needs, let us agree with you in prayer. The CDs are in the back. Go by the table, pick them up. Let's buy them all tonight. If you're new, see us at Guest Central. Go from here in God's grace and peace. Much love.